From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Yonder in the better world, the inhabitants are independent of all creature comforts. They have no need of raiment. Their white robes never wear out, neither shall they ever be defiled. They need no medicine to heal diseases, for the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. They need no sleep to recruit their frames. They rest not day nor night, but unweariedly praise him in his temple. They need no social relationship to minister comfort, and whatever happiness they may derive from association with their fellows is not essential to their bliss, for their Lord's society is enough for their largest desires. They need no teachers there. They doubtless commune with one another concerning the things of God, but they do not require this by way of instruction. They shall all be taught of the Lord. Ours are the alms at the king's gate, but they feast at the table itself. Here we lean upon the friendly arm, but there they lean upon their beloved and upon him alone. Here we must have the help of our companions, but there they find all they want in Christ Jesus. Here we look to the meat which perisheth, and to the raiment which decays before the moth, but there they find everything in God. We use the bucket to fetch us water from the well, but there they drink from the fountainhead and put their lips down to the living water. Here the angels bring us blessings, but we shall want no messengers from heaven then. They shall need no Gabriels there to bring their love notes from God, for there they shall see him face to face. Oh, what a blessed time shall that be, when we shall have mounted above every second cause and shall rest upon the bare arm of God. What a glorious hour when God and not his creatures, the Lord and not his works, shall be our daily joy. Our souls shall then have attained the perfection of bliss.
I shall see the King in his beauty, in the land that is far away. When the shadows at length have lifted, and the darkness has turned to day, to behold the Chief of 10,000, for my soul this were joy enough. Suffice for the bliss of heaven that the Lamb is the light thereof. I shall see him in the glory, the Lamb that once was slain. Now I'll then resound the wondrous story. Hallelujah, hallelujah, And tell the glorious meeting when the Lord shall bring home his own. With one sight all his saints are raptured, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. I shall see.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As he continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns is bringing the next portion of a message entitled, Laboring to Produce Fully Mature Christians. The text is found in the last part of chapter 1. Here we find Paul's summary of the gospel ministry, as he says of Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The essence of Paul's ministry was setting forth Christ. Dr. Cairns has been explaining the components of Paul's method. The first and most important element is preaching, the public proclaiming of God's word. A preacher must come to his people not merely with a list of scripture texts which he expounds in a fairly intellectual manner. He must come with a message from God. A true preaching ministry will include warning, which sometimes brings encouragement and sometimes rebuke. Then there is teaching, with a special emphasis on the individual. As Dr. Cairns has shown, there is no spiritual elite in the Church of Jesus Christ. Today we see Paul's motivation in his preaching. His aim was to bring believers to perfection, that is, to maturity in the things of Christ. To see a baby who fails to develop is tragic. The same is true of spiritual babes. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
There is the need of admonishing, close to warning. Not in the Greek text here, but in the English word admonishing, there is, in its etymology, the idea of a threat. Admonishing. What is he saying? In context here. With heresy swirling around them and corrupters of the gospel trying to get in to keep them back from Christ, he's saying to them, I am calling on you to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm calling for a policy of zero tolerance toward corrupters of the gospel. I am admonishing you. That's what Paul is saying. There's preaching, there's this training by word, this warning, and then he says there's teaching in all wisdom, expounding and explaining the gospel in order to establish them in it. Now, I'm sure you must have noticed as we read the text the triple reference to every man, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's obviously not accidental. There's something more than stylistic, that's more than something stylistic here. There's something important, something that Paul wants to get through to us. Again, in the context, he's dealing with a heresy that was seeking to create an elite in the church. The heretics presented a subtle message that they spoke of as being one of superior knowledge, superior light. It was for an enlightened elite. It was for an inside group. And Paul throws all that away, and he looks at the church as a whole, and he says, the gospel is for every man. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. The gospel is for every man in God's church. That's universality. But I want you to notice this. It also stresses individuality. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not just speaking to the Colossians. I'm speaking to you. And I think I'm not going too far when I say that's exactly the message the Lord brings to you today. This is not just generally talking about Christians coming to full maturity in Christ. This is God talking to you individually, personally. This is the Lord, and if he gives a word of encouragement, for you he gives it. For you he gives the word of warning. For you he gives the admonition. This is individual, and this is Paul's method. Notice his motivation in it. At the end of verse 26, he says, I do this that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, the word perfect here does not mean sinless perfection, as many perfectionists, as they call themselves, would like to insinuate. It means rather mature or entire or wholehearted. For example, Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There is no way on earth that there's any man as morally perfect as God. That's impossible. And that's not what's being commanded. But in the context, you'll see the Lord Jesus is talking about the perfectly entire and complete way in which God deals with people. And the Lord Jesus is saying, you be the same. He's talking about a maturity, an entirety, a wholeheartedness. If you turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 4, for example, you'll find he explains this in some detail. Verse 11, let's start. This is speaking about what the risen Christ, exalted Christ, has done for his church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For, now that word for is not the same word as at the beginning of verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, etc. What's he talking about here? He's saying this is perfection. It's growing from childhood to adulthood. It's growing to full maturity. Maturity of mind, maturity of faith, maturity of heart, maturity of service. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 and see how Paul puts it there. We'll start at verse 11. Speaking of Melchizedek, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Why are they hard to be uttered? Seeing ye are dull of hearing. Why are they dull of hearing? Okay, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. This is what he's talking about. Paul is telling the Colossian Christians here, my motivation in all that I am doing and preaching among you, all my labor among you, it's for this, that I may present you as fully mature Christians. It's great to see newborn babes. It's great to see new Christians. It's a wonderful thing to see people who have just left darkness and come into light. As I told the church at prayer meeting, I was talking to a man in my study the other day who came by to tell me of how listening to radio sermons on WMUU at 5:40 a.m., driving his truck, and then getting tapes from the church and listening to those and coming under conviction of sin, getting out of his truck and getting by the side of the road to cry to God for forgiveness and for God's grace and for Christ to come and indwell his heart. That's a wonderful thing to hear. It's a wonderful thing to see. A new Christian. But I'll tell you what's not wonderful. When the babies should have produced to proceeded to adolescence, and the adolescent should have proceeding on to adulthood, but they haven't. That is not good to see. And here's the tragedy that Paul is seeking to avert in the Colossian church, and men and women, we must seek to avert it in our church. And that is having 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70-year-old spiritual babies. People who have never grown in grace, never grown in faith, never grown in their understanding of the gospel. What a tragedy that is. We're here on Mother's Day. Every mother knows here, when you bring that baby into the world, you watch it like a hawk. If it's not growing the way you think it ought to grow, you're scared. If there's something doesn't seem to be working as you think it ought to be working, you're scared. You're away to the physician immediately. What's happening here? Is there anything we can do about it? And when you're told there's nothing we can do about it, this baby will remain a baby to the day he dies. It's one of the greatest heartbreaks a mother or a father can ever have. Spiritually, it's just the same. Paul says, I'm laboring, brethren, to see you become fully mature. He instructed the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You see, and this is the difference between the spiritual and the physical world. That little baby's born with something wrong. and the body or the brain will not develop. There's not a thing in the world that the child can do about it. But for the most part, in almost every case, immature Christians remain immature. They remain babes by willful, carnal action. And that's why when writing to the Corinthians, Paul equates babiness and carnality. They go together. In other words, what I'm telling you is this: you may be a fully mature Christian. There's nothing in this world to stop you being a fully mature Christian if you are a Christian at all. There's nothing to stop you being a fully mature Christian except carnality.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.